And now, Don Blackwell.
In John 12 and 48, Jesus said, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak." Friends, I want you to particularly notice from this passage that Jesus said it will be the word that he has spoken. It will be his word that will be our judge in the final day. Now, that being the case, the only source of authority that will matter on the day of judgment will be the Bible, the word of God himself. But if you look around at the religious world today, you'll find there are various sources of authority being used. Many denominations, in addition to the Bible, also have a creed book. Some have their catechism, as does the Catholic Church. Some have their discipline, as does the Methodist Church. Others have their manuals or confession of faith. But friends, the Lord's Church, the Church of Christ, is different. In fact, it is the plea of the churches of Christ to have no creed but Christ and no book but the Bible. Friends, the Lord's Church is different. Point number one today that I want you to notice with us in this lesson are some reasons why we do not use a human creed. The first reason is they are not apostolic. We don't have them because the first century church did not have them. The church in the first century was guided and governed solely by the apostles' doctrine. We learn that in Acts 2 and 42. In the time of the apostles and for the first three centuries, the Bible was the only creed used by man. And if it came along after that time, then friends, it came along too late. Even if it's similar to the Bible, that's not good enough. I don't care to have a church manual similar to the one that existed in the first century. I want the same one that they used. And for that to be possible, I have to use the Bible only. A second reason that we don't use human creeds in the Church of Christ is because human creeds reflect on the all-sufficiency of the Bible. Friends, the Bible furnishes us with every good work, everything I need to serve the Lord, I learn in the Bible. In 2 Peter 1 and 3, we read, "According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness." Now consider that. If we've been given all things, what more could we possibly need? That being the case, I do not need a creed book. And a creed book, by its very existence, suggests that the Bible is not all-sufficient. It suggests that indeed we need something else in religion. In 2 Timothy 3 and 16, once again, the Bible claims all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, friends, the Holy Spirit says that the Scriptures have been given to furnish us doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness. And notice it says that we may be complete. Now, the word complete in the Greek means that we have everything that we need. Now, are not human creeds written to furnish man unto doctrine and reproof and correction and instruction in righteousness? Yes, that's the reason they are written. Then why pledge allegiance to a human creed that has been given for the same reason that God gave us the Bible? The Restoration preacher Ben Franklin said about human creeds. He said, first, if any creed contains more than the Bible, it is objectionable because it does contain more than the Bible. Secondly, he said, any creed containing less than the Bible is objectionable because it does contain less than the Bible. Third, any creed differing from the Bible is objectionable because it does differ from the Bible. And fourth, any creed precisely like the Bible is useless because we have the Bible. Friends, human creeds reflect on the all-sufficiency of the Bible. And as a matter of fact, those who have pledged allegiance to human creeds are really unable to defend the Bible. Because think about this. How are they going to speak on behalf of the Bible and its completeness and its perfection while at the same time holding to the addition of a human creed? And so, by their very existence, human creeds level a very serious accusation against that which God holds precious, that is His Word. Listen to the words of Psalm 138 and verse 2. They're talking about the Word of God. For Thou hast magnified Thy Word above all of Thy name. Friends, I want you to notice number 3. We don't use human creeds in the Church of Christ because they are imperfect and they're revised every few years. No person who holds to a human creed knows what their doctrine will be in another 10 years. Let me illustrate this for you. The Methodist discipline prior to the year 1910 read, all men are conceived and born in sin. In 1910, there was a complete reversal of this. And so, those holding to that doctrine prior to that, their doctrine was changed. But the Bible, on the other hand, is perfect. While human creeds become obsolete and are discarded for new ones, the Bible shares in the nature of its author. The Bible tells us about God that He is unchangeable, Hebrews 13 and 8, and such is also the case with His Word. Psalm 119 and verse 89 reads, Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. Jesus said in Matthew 24 and 35, Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My words shall not pass away. Friends, human creeds change from time to time. They are rewritten and they are altered, but God's Word remains constant. Number 4, we don't use human creeds because human creeds are contradictory. For example, the Standard Manual for Baptist Churches, written by Edward T. Hiscox, pages 80 and 81, reads this way. Baptism is the immersion, dipping, or burying in water, and the dipping in water of a professed disciple of Christ is that one baptism. Now, that's the Baptist Manual. Listen to another creed. This is the Discipline of the Methodist Church, 1948 edition, page 470. It says, Let every adult person and the parents of every child to be baptized have the choice of sprinkling, pouring, or immersion. Now, friends, both cannot be true. Truth is always consistent. But you notice that these two manuals conflict with one another. And so, contradictory human creeds, sometimes self-contradictory, cannot be right. Number 5, in the Church of Christ, we do not use human creeds because human creeds seek to change the Bible in various ways. And ladies and gentlemen, that is strictly forbidden in God's Word. Galatians 1 and 9 reads, If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. Friends, the Lord is very serious about changing His Word, about adding to it, about subtracting from it. In fact, we are warned in the beginning of the Bible, in the middle of the Bible, and in the end of the Bible about altering God's message in any way. In the beginning of the Bible, we read in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2, Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it. In the middle of the Bible, we read in Proverbs 30 and verse 6, Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. In the end of the Bible, we read in Revelation 22 verses 18 and 19, If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city. And friends, and yet, after all of this is said in God's Word, men continue to alter it. That's exactly what creeds do. Let me cite some examples for you. Article 9 of the Discipline of the Methodist Church teaches justification by faith only. The Bible teaches we are not justified by faith only. James chapter 2 and verse 24. A second example. The Standard Manual for Baptist Churches reads that baptism is not essential. Pages 20 and 21. The Bible teaches that baptism is essential to salvation. Mark 16 and 16. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." You see, if a person doesn't do both of those things, Jesus said he cannot have salvation. But that's in direct opposition to what is taught in the manual we just mentioned. Number three, a third example. The Standard Manual for Baptist Churches teaches the Lord's Supper is not to be observed weekly and not always on the first day of the week. It teaches that it doesn't matter and it doesn't have to be done weekly. The Bible, on the other hand, teaches that the Lord's Supper is to be observed weekly and on the first day of the week. Acts 20 and verse 7. A fourth example. The Doctrines and Disciplines of the Free Methodist Church of North America teaches that mechanical instruments of music can be used in the worship of God. But the Bible says we are to worship God with the fruit of our lips, that we are to offer singing only. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. A fifth example, the discipline of the Methodist Church teaches the baptism of infants. But the Bible says that baptism is for believers only. In Acts chapter 8, verses 36 and 37, when the Ethiopian eunuch learned the gospel, he turned to Philip and he asked him, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Philip said to him, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." You see, prior to being baptized, a man must be a believer. And that contradicts what is taught in the creed book we just mentioned. Example number six. The Standard Manual for Baptist Churches teaches a child of God cannot fall from grace. But the Bible teaches children of God can fall from grace. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4. And in fact, there are many examples of those who did. Friends, we could go on and on. But the point is that every human creed changes the Bible in some way. Number six, we don't use human creeds in the Church of Christ because creeds are divisive in their very nature. You see, they keep religious people divided into parties and sects. The Methodist discipline, if read, believed, and practiced, makes Methodist, never Baptist. The Baptist manual, read, believed, and practiced, makes Baptist, never Catholics. The Presbyterian Confession of Faith, read, believed, and practiced, makes Presbyterians, never Methodist. The Catechism, read, believed, and practiced, makes Roman Catholics, never Baptist. Friends, this is divisive and it's sectarian. But the Bible, read, believed, and practiced, makes Christians only. If the gospel only and the only gospel is preached in any century, it will still produce Christians only and the only Christians. Friends, the Lord's church is different. Number seven, we don't use human creeds in the Lord's church because on the day of judgment, we're not going to be judged by human creeds. Friends, on that final day, there will be several books that will be opened. The Bible tells us that the book of our lives will be opened on that day, 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. There will also be the book of God's Word that will be opened, according to John 12 and 48. Philippians 4 and 3 says that there will be the book of life on the final day. But friends, there will be no opening of human creed books. I want you to also notice that despite the fact that there will be no opening of human creed books, despite the fact that they will be irrelevant in the judgment, still there are efforts made by many people to try to justify human creeds. Despite the fact that they are not apostolic, despite the fact that they reflect on the all-sufficiency of the Bible, despite the fact that they are periodically revised, that they are contradictory, that they seek to change the Bible, that they are divisive in nature, still people seek to justify them. Friends, I want to look at some of the attempts that people make to try to justify creeds of men. Number one, sometimes people will say, creeds are nothing but the Bible. Well, we already discussed this point. If creeds are nothing but the Bible, then why have them at all? Sometimes people will say, well, creeds go all the way back to the Nicene Creed. But the problem with that is the Nicene Creed came from the Council of Nicaea in AD 325. Friends, that was more than 200 years after God's Word was complete. So although creeds go back far, they do not go back far enough. Number three, sometimes people will say, but we have to have something that identifies our denomination and gives it cohesiveness. That's the point. Maintaining creeds and books of men perpetuates division. It perpetuates denominationalism. In John 17, 20 and 21, Jesus said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. Friends, as long as human creeds are maintained, the prayer of Jesus will never be answered. Number four, sometimes people will say, well, if you can have your commentaries to go by, why cannot we have our creed? First of all, we do not go by commentaries. And as a matter of fact, I caution people on this. Friends, don't ever allow yourself to get to the point that you put your trust in a commentary. Some people treat a commentary as if it is their source of doctrine. But certainly, that's a very dangerous practice. Friends, commentaries can be very useful. But commentaries, we have to remember, are nothing more than a man's thoughts on a certain subject. Now, granted, he may be an educated man. He may have some very useful thoughts to consider, but still, he is just a man. But there's a big difference in using commentaries and creeds. You see, commentaries are merely study aids, but creeds are official documents handed down with the intent of governing people religiously. Ladies and gentlemen, Christ is the divine creed of the churches of Christ. The word creed is from the Latin word credo. It means I believe. And the New Testament affirms that Christ is to be the object of our belief. In so doing, we believe that Christ is the Son of the one and only true and living God. We believe in what He did in His death, His burial, and His resurrection. We believe in keeping His commandments, John 14 and 15. And we believe in His doctrine, the doctrine of Christ. Hebrews 6 and 1 says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. 2 John 1 and verse 9 says, whosoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Friends, our plea today is simply this, that there is no creed but Christ, and that we use no book but the Bible. Friends, the Lord's church is different. We seek to call Bible things by Bible names, and we seek to do Bible things in Bible ways. Our plea is very simple. Let's go back to the Bible and only the Bible. Let's be Christians and only Christians. Not Baptists or Methodists or Presbyterians, but only Christians. Friends, today you can do that by following the Bible carefully. The Bible teaches that if a man would be a Christian, he must hear the gospel, Romans 10 and 14. But upon hearing it, he must believe it. Jesus said in Mark 16 and 16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. In John 8 and 24, Jesus said, if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. Friends, a man must hear the gospel and he must believe it if he's going to be saved eternally. But the Bible also teaches a man must repent of his sins. On the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 and 38, Peter told those Jews present on that occasion, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Jesus said in Luke 13 and 3, I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Upon hearing the gospel, believing it, repenting of one's sins, The Bible also says that a man must confess his faith in Christ. We have a great example of this in Acts chapter 8 and verse 37 when the Ethiopian eunuch said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 tells us, "With the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Jesus said in Matthew 10 and 32, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." And then a man must be baptized in water for the remission of sins. A man cannot be saved without it. 1 Peter 3, 20 and 21 tells us, "The like figure, whereunto baptism does now also save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God." Then the Bible says a man must live faithfully until death. Revelation 2 and 10. Friends, we thank you for tuning in to the program today.